He's back. Donald Trump will run again. But will America survive the next 2 years? Plus, why are the media not talking about the big midterm winners? Pro-life governors who stood up for life and who stood against the Great Reset lockdown of the world. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Michael Matt, and this is The Remnant Underground. So the big announcement happened last night. Donald Trump is going to rise again. So they say.
All the way?
All the way. I don't know what we're going to make of that. I don't know if it really even matters. Is there going to be a country left in 2 years for Donald Trump to lead? I'm not sure. People are kind of expecting us to have a big position on this one way or the other. Walter, where do you come down on this?
I think it's still a long ways away. We shouldn't rush into anything at the moment.
I totally agree. It's a long way away. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know where Trump is going to be at that point. So we're just watching like everybody else. And the thing is, from the beginning, we've been so clear on this when Trump was making his run beforehand. It was always about us. It was always about the fact that he stood with the pro-lifers. He stood with pro-God, pro-family Americans. If he does that again, great. And the thing is we're going to explain here in a minute, if he doesn't do that, if he backs away from that, well, I hope you enjoyed the 2022 midterms, because we're going to have the same thing in 2024. Because it's going to be a crazy couple of years. I could do a whole show on what's happening here in Minnesota, but we got to get started. But it is going to get bad, friends, as we predicted all along, as far as what Big Brother is going to be doing, the new Gestapo is going to be doing. So please remember, click this link right down here, subscribe to my e-letter. We really don't abuse that thing. We're not going to fill your e-box full of, you know, five communications a day. Well, how often do we use that? Two, three times a week, maybe?
Yeah,
not a lot at all. But it's the only way, again, that we can let you know when we post videos at remnant-tv.com, which is where everything goes first. It goes at remnantnewspaper.com. Then it goes over to Rumble. Then it goes to YouTube, if they're still having us. I'm not sure where they stand. And then Spotify and everything else. So, but we need to, you know, people say, you should go here, you should go there. The idea isn't that we need a new platform. We already built one. You helped us build it. remnant-tv.com. The problem is we have 260,000 YouTube subscribers that we're trying to let them know where we're going to be, because we're going to lose contact with them as soon as YouTube gives this channel a strike, pulls the video down. We've lost all track. We can't post. We can't contact. So we're just trying to spend some time here making connection with you all in a different way. Like I said last time, you can use Twitter if you want. The best for us, again, is our e-blast. Just click right down below, sign up, and we're good to go. So it's been a little while, I guess, since the midterms. So everything's kind of, the dust is settling, I think. Maybe we can just do kind of a recap tonight and move on to bigger and better things. I think there's a lot, as they say, a lot to unpack, because it wasn't all bad. They want us to think it was all bad, but they're forgetting one major part of the midterms, and I really want to talk about this tonight. And that is that the folks who stood with the unborn, stood with family, stood with patriotism, were outspokenly against the branch COVIDians, won big. They won huge. And we're going to talk about that because nobody else wants to talk about it. Here in Minnesota, just like out in Pennsylvania, in Minnesota here, it's pretty much idiocracy.
If you have one bucket that holds 2 gallons and another bucket that holds 5 gallons, how many buckets do you have?
Two?
Thank you.
They went out last Tuesday, and they actually voted for the people who let this happen to the city a year and a half ago. But in their brainwashed delusion, the folks in the cities, the cities of St. Paul and Minneapolis, are now bragging how they beat us. They beat the conservative. They beat the big red wave in the midterms. But that's like bragging that your cancer is spreading faster than mine. Yeah, you're right, but it's not going to end well. You see, the thing is, friends, we've seen it, especially in Canada, we've seen this coming a long time ago. Started homeschooling our kids 20 years ago. Got the heck out of the city 25 years ago. I grew up in the cities. We got out because they're becoming uninhabitable since they drove Christ out. Over Minneapolis, as I've pointed out many times, they celebrate every year Abortion Providers Appreciation Day. You know? That's why that city went up in flames. So we left long, long time ago. So it's their city, in other words, that's in flames. The blue voters. They're the ones suffering the highest spikes in violent crime in history. They're the ones who are getting carjacked in broad daylight. Their children are getting gunned down in the streets. They're the ones falling asleep to the sounds of gunfire and sirens every single night. You see, we didn't vote in a personal sense. We didn't vote to better our situation because we're dodging bullets. No, we didn't, as conservatives. There's no crime where I live. We voted to stop the violence in their streets because we care about the common good of everyone. We voted for law and order in their schools. As I say, our children have been homeschooled all along from the start. We voted to protect their grandchildren from abortion, from being aborted. We don't want their kids to die, you see? This is happening, this video I'm going to put on the screen, this is happening to their 14-year-old daughters on the way home from school, not ours. It's incredible, some kid trying to get home from school and this is going on. And that's mild, at least she lived, at least she survived. And the administrations of all these cities, Democrat-run cities, progressive cities, were all voted back in. So you tell me again, who were the winners in those midterms? The folks who voted for more of the same? And they say, well, yeah, but you guys thought there was going to be a big red wave. Well, I guess we showed you. No, you didn't. We didn't expect a big red wave.
Let's just think about these midterms. Remember when they were talking about the big red wave that was coming and we were just going to obliterate those Democrats come November, right? Looks like the wave has crested somewhere far out to sea.
Want to know why there was no red wave? It's because most of our guys, the good guys, they still do not realize what we're up against. We are up against a fanatical religious cult.
So it's not like I'm quick to jump to the conclusion that spiritual warfare is at work. I just had no other explanation. Like, what's the other explanation? There isn't one. So yes, we're watching a battle between good and evil that is playing out in spaces that we cannot see because it is a spiritual war,
Amen.
Not just a human war.
Talking about evil, talking about the existence of evil in our world, it's getting a lot easier to do because there aren't any other alternatives to what we are seeing. So the question is, I hear that Mitch McConnell is going to be the leader, once again, of the conservatives. He's not conservative. He conserves nothing, but he's going to be the leader of the conservatives. How long before these guys come to realize what this is? As Tucker Carlson just admitted, it's a spiritual war. How long, what's it going to take? What is it going to take for these guys to realize this? Does Trump realize this? Did Donald Trump realize this? There was a time a few years ago where it seemed like he was beginning to get an inkling. Does he still have it? People say, are you going to support Trump? I don't know. It depends. We're not sycophants. It depends on this question. It depends on what Donald Trump does with respect to the life movement, abortion, gay marriage, vaccines. Where's Trump on all of this? You know, we're going to find out. Did he learn from these midterms that we're up against evil incarnate? Sorry to say, Donald, but you're the one who endorsed the insufferable Dr. Oz. And Dr. Oz went out there and lost to Uncle Fester over here because Dr. Oz is a Muslim and he's weak on abortion. While Uncle Fester, on the other hand, is a zealous defender of that human sacrifice.
I'm proud of what we ran on. Protecting a woman's right to choose.
Now, Dr. Oz, he might be a decent guy, I don't know. But he brought a knife to a gunfight, didn't he? And he got beat by Uncle Fester. And the thing is, whoever runs in 2024 to become president of this country had better get this right. This is a race against evil. It's a race against baby killers, for heaven's sakes. You say, oh man, you shouldn't use the word evil. That sounds so paranoid. It sounds so kind of weird, right? What do you call baby killers? What would you do if I had a baby lying here on this desk? And all of a sudden I pulled a knife out of the drawer here and just started plunging it into the heart of the baby. Can you imagine any circumstance whereby you would not conclude that I was evil for doing this to a little crying, helpless baby, right? Well, that's what they're doing. But for some reason, we're insulated or we're blind to the reality of this. That is what we are up against. People who want to do that a million times a year just in this country. And over and over and over again. I mean, we talked about this on this show, lead up to the midterms. What was Biden telling you guys? What was he saying? Joe Biden was out there constantly. Remember, I was saying, I was on Twitter, you know, kind of trolling him. Every day there'd be another tweet. He was telling us exactly what this election was all about, but you didn't believe him. Remember, this is what he was saying.
You care about the right to choose, then you got to vote. That's why in these midterm elections are so critical to elect more Democratic senators to the United States Senate and more Democrats to keep control of the House of Representatives. And folks, if we do that, here's the promise I make to you and the American people. The first bill that I will send to the Congress will be to codify Roe v. Wade.
There's your Catholic president. The first bill he's going to send is going to codify Roe v. Wade. It was all about that. All about that. People say, no, it's Trump, man. Trump backed this. Trump backed that. It was his fault. Really? No, it was all about abortion. And to whatever extent these candidates were weak on the life issues, they got their lower spinal extremities handed to them. Conversely, whomever took Biden seriously, I know it's hard because he doesn't make a lot of sense, but on the abortion thing, he's as serious as a heart attack and very articulate. He wants to kill them babies, man. He's going to protect your right. Come on, man. That's what we're going to do. So whoever took him seriously on this, they won big time in those midterms. For example,
so in South Dakota today, we had a trigger law in place that our state statute said that abortion would be outlawed in our state as soon as this decision was made, except to save the life of the mother. So currently in South Dakota today, that's where we are.
We want Oklahoma to be the most pro-life state in the country. We want to outlaw abortion.
The new law now making it a felony to perform an abortion at any point in a known pregnancy, punishable by up to 10 years in prison.
Millions of children lose their right to life every year because of abortion. In Texas, we work to save those lives.
Now, we're not hearing a lot about those guys. Those are big winners. They had the little red wave. There was a little red wave among these governors who were pro-life. And Governor DeSantis, of course, that's the big story of the night, because you could not ignore the fact that Florida went completely red, probably for the rest of our lifetimes. I mean, it's such a huge switch. I guess DeSantis was the biggest winner of them all. And here's how the governor approached re-election.
Florida has joined a growing list of states that want abortion laws to be more restrictive. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed a bill into law yesterday banning abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. There are no exemptions for rape, incest, or human trafficking.
Now, you would think that if the Republicans are right, Mitch McConnell is right, and we need to talk about the pocketbook issues and not the moral social issues. If those guys are right, DeSantis, Noam, Stitt, all these guys should have gotten destroyed, right? But instead, they won big, and nobody's talking about it. Nobody's talking about Kristi Noem out there also wanting her state to be the most, they're having a competition, the most pro-life states in the union. And DeSantis is like, you know, God's back in Florida. Remember, we played the clip last time. He says, put on the armor of God and go to war against these people. Just weeks before the election, he's talking about God. And guess what? He's talking about the efficacy of prayer. Did you hear about this?
The past year, my family has felt the power of prayer in our own lives. The outpouring of support for my wife and our First Lady, Casey DeSantis, from across Florida and across the world, help us get through a very trying time. And today, we can say that those prayers were answered because the First Lady is cancer-free.
The power of prayer. The prayers were answered. Ron DeSantis is a Catholic. You can hear that, can't you? But it wasn't just standing up for God. It wasn't just defending the power of prayer. It wasn't just doing everything he could to defend life. He famously stood up to the science.
You have people like Fauci saying that his lockdowns didn't cause any permanent damage to any young kids. I got news for you, it did, and we are going to reap those rewards across the whole country for years and years and years because they treated kids so poorly. And I'm just sick of seeing him. I know he says he's going to retire. Someone needs to grab that little elf and chuck him across the Potomac.
Just chuck him across the Potomac. It's just, it's fantastic. And, you know, you could see DeSantis getting stronger as time went by. That was the other thing that was interesting. He getting stronger on all these issues as he got closer to election because he was feeling a red wave in Florida. Even to the point of going back, sort of retrospectively looking at what they did during COVID, blasting Fauci, blasting what they did to kids, and blasting the fact that they shut churches. And they shut churches in Florida, too. But there's a certain sense of regret. What were we doing? Why did we close the churches? This will never happen again. Here's DeSantis.
If you would have states that would close churches while allowing liquor stores and strip clubs to be open, we all would have said that there's no way that that could have happened in the United States. And yet we saw that in all these different states.
People say, yeah, well, not at first. Guys like DeSantis was weak, man. He was weak on COVID. He fell for the whole thing. Well, who cares? A lot of people fell for COVID. A lot of people got it wrong at first. A lot of traditional Catholics even got it wrong. Totally disagree with that. Tucker Carlson got it wrong at first. And the point is, once the fog cleared, DeSantis, Noam, Stitt, even Abbott, they did the right thing. And my bigger point is, after they did the right thing, that won them re-election. That, friends, is the path forward. Stand up against the Great Reset, stand up against the COVID-X, stand up against the pro-abort, stand up against Planned Parenthood, stand up against the woke mob, as DeSantis puts it, and you'll win, Donald Trump. If he has any chance of winning in 2024, he needs to do the exact same thing. He needs to get real also about what's going on with those vaccines. Now, I get it. He has a political decision to make. If I claim to have saved millions of lives with my vaccines and my warp speed, maybe I'll get reelected. But that's becoming a really, really, that's becoming a pretty tough position to make. And most of us are completely done with it, given what's happening in the vaccine world. Not only down here, but all around the country. 80 medical doctors up in Canada boosted and dead. Put this up on the screen. You've seen this? I'm trying to cover this up, but it's really getting tough, and it's no longer the stuff just on BitChute. It's all over the place, friends. And Donald Trump has to get real about this. At some point, he has to say, we were had. Fauci, company, the science, everything. They took us for a ride. We're not scientists. They took us for a ride. Look what happened. It's too bad, and we regret it. You know, and of course, people falling over dead all over the place. That doesn't bother Fauci. It doesn't bother Gates. Up in Canada, we had one of the most extreme lockdowns. It doesn't bother the little ferret, not at all. In fact, the ferret got himself a new TV gig.
It's been revealed that Prime Minister Justin Trudeau will be making an appearance on RuPaul's Drag Race spinoff, Canada versus the World.
Please help me welcome the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau!
Behold the Catholic Prime Minister of Canada. Of course, this is nothing new. Justin, when he's not shutting people down and being a little Adolf Hitler up there with a little French accent, eh? He's been doing this drag queen stuff for a long time. Here he is. He's positively giddy at a drag parade, whatever the hell you call him.
Thank you so much. What a pleasure. Oh, no, what a pleasure to be here.
Oh, no, no, no,
oh, no, 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 no. We all are.
Happy Pride! But hey, I get it. He stands when it comes to the really, really important things. The little ferret can be counted on. He stands with Ukraine.
President Zelensky's speech tailor-made for Canada.
As friends, you can count on our unwavering and steadfast support.
Y'all still standing with Ukraine, by the way? Getting a little weird, huh? Getting a little out of control. A little old. Even Biden seems to be a little unsure how much longer he can push this thing. Because it's really working out pretty well. In fact, there's a direct connection now, apparently, to the midterms. Our little buddy, Mr. Greenshirt, helped win those elections. He helped stop the red wave.
Well, when Democrats are sending you billions of dollars of weaponry, the least you could do is reward their favorite mega donor. And what did FTX do with the money Ukraine invested? Well, they plowed it right back into the Democratic Party. Democrats send money to Ukraine. Ukraine sends money to FTX, and FTX sends money to the Democrats' campaigns.
You absolutely could not make this stuff up. And again, how many months, 7, 8 months has been going on? We were opposed to this nonsense from the beginning. Stand with Ukraine. And stand with a little ferret, too, who's very good friends with
Volodymyr Zelensky.
Our friend, Volodymyr Zelensky.
What a little ferret. I can't believe this guy. It's so embarrassing that he's a Catholic. Every time he can get an opportunity to tell the world he's a Catholic, he sure does. Speaking of Catholics, now there's a new documentary out.
In Daniel Andrews' Victoria, things are not as they seem.
There's a thing they call Dan's freezer, and you get put in the freezer if you stand up to him.
Every Victorian can have faith that people in politics are working for them.
He's a really divisive character.
A very capable person, but he's not transparent.
Over a period of 8 years, he's consolidated power.
Whether it's red shirts, whether it's hotel quarantine, it is just so bad.
It's almost like there's a cult of Dan Andrews.
People don't speak up because their pre-selections are under threat. It's undemocratic, it's unfair.
I don't think we've ever been in a worse position.
Trusting Daniel Andrews will completely change your life. If you're down, he'll kick you to keep you down.
What happens to Victoria if Daniel Andrews is returned?
Well, guess what religion he is.
I'm a Catholic. I send my kids to Catholic schools. My faith is important to me. It guides me every day.
They're everywhere. They're in all the positions of power, it seems like right now. Thank you, Vatican II. You know who else went to Catholic schools, by the way? This little guy.
And Mr. President, thank you for your many years advocating LGBTQ plus equality and for everything you've done to assemble an administration that looks like America. And for all that he has done to help people see themselves in a new light of belonging and possibility, on a point of personal privilege, I'd like to recognize my husband, Chasten.
Oh, man, are they grooming him. Want a prediction? Here's a prediction. Here's a prediction about Mayor Pete. Mayor Pete, look for this little clown in the White House before this edition of Idiocracy has come to a completion. Mayor Pete is a baptized Catholic, attended Catholic schools. He even lists Father Jimmy Martin as one of his big influences. It's right there on Wikipedia. Father Jimmy, by the way, had another audience with Pope Francis last week. It was exciting. Austin Ivory was very excited that Pope Francis was praising Father Jimmy. You know Father Jimmy, right?
Recently, I had 30 minutes with Pope Francis.
And he used all 30 of those to advocate for LGBT people.
Today, I'm sitting down with Father James Martin, Jesuit priest, author, editor-at-large of American Media, and a compelling advocate for LGBTQ people in the Catholic Church.
Do you want another prediction or no?
Shoot.
Father Jimmy is going to be Bishop Jimmy before long. And speaking of hostile takeover of the Catholic Church, Cardinal Wilton Gregory, one of Francis's favorite, he just canceled the youth rally mass for life in D.C. And they said the reason that they had gotten rid, well, they didn't really give any reason for canceling it. They just said that after there was dialogue with ministry leaders, they decided to shut down the Catholic pro-life rally. Good plan, Wilton. Very well played. Now, Bishop Strickland, God bless him, looked at that thing like the rest of us did as an obscene outrage, and he protested on Twitter. But everyone else just is sort of, oh, ho-hum. Got to pray and obey, right? That's what Francis wants. Got to concentrate on the positives. Tell the world about the good news of the gospel. Don't be so negative. You ever notice that people who say that all the time, apparently don't want to burn the bridges with their respectability partners or whatever it is. Just concentrate on the good news. Don't be so negative. But at the risk of being all negative in this case, I would like to point out who it was that appointed a pro-abortion atheist to the Vatican's Pontifical Academy for Life.
Mariana Mazzucato, a member of the World Economic Forum, was named to the post by Archbishop Vincenzo Paglia. Now, she will serve a 5-year term as a member of the Academy for Life, remember. Pope Francis has praised her work in economics as not ideological. But Mazzucato regularly comments on and shares posts being supportive of legalized abortion.
And people want to blame Donald Trump for the fact that there was no red wave at the midterms? I don't get that. Why do they act like this guy's some sort of a prophet who's supposed to be able to solve all the world's problems? He's just a Manhattan businessman. And we've got a much bigger problem here. I mean, Catholics represent the largest Christian denomination in America. Over 68 million members. In those little midterm elections we just went through, Catholics cast nearly 30% of the ballots. That would have changed every single race. Over and above that, look at the Catholics running for office. Look who's in charge. Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, AOC, they're all Catholic. And they love Pope Francis. They've got no problem with Pope Francis. Pope Francis has no problem with Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, AOC, John Kerry, and the rest. In fact, the only Catholic politician that probably has to worry about Francis at the moment is Ron DeSantis, since his positions on just about everything, including capital punishment and immigration, run directly contrary to the novelties of his holiness. And bottom line, friends, this is why, when I say there's a spiritual war, you got to look at the spiritual leaders who are on the other side of the battlefield, because even today, the Pope is the most recognized moral authority in the world, which is why everyone from Klaus Schwab to Hillary Clinton are trying to make sure they recruit him on their side of the battlefield. Here's Hillary.
And you certainly don't need to be Catholic to be inspired by the humility and heart of the Holy Father, Pope Francis, or to embrace his message.
Here's Hillary. Embracing the message of Pope Francis. Why wasn't that the giveaway that everybody needed? You're still going to pray and obey? You're going to obey this guy? People say, hey, Francis, who cares, man? I mean, nobody cares about Francis. The Pope is going to matter for a long time to come, even Francis. And if you want sort of maybe a clarifying example of that, don't think of Francis wearing the white. Think of Karol Wojtyła. Think of Pope John Paul II. Right? Just a few years ago. This was the most powerful moral geopolitical leader in the world. He's credited with having, you know, along with the Gipper and Margaret Thatcher, taken down the wall, right? Ended communism. Massive influence. And you see, all the bad guys, the World Economic Forum, the United States, all these people, they know darn well how influential the Catholic Pope is, not just with Catholics, but with the whole world. Who else would be a more significant moral spiritual leader than the Pope? It's a big deal when you do not have the presence of the Pope or the voice of the Pope trying to call people back to sanity, back to morality. Joe Biden, he goes out of his way to play the Catholic card.
Bo wore these. Hunt got these for Bo and me and at Our Lady of Guadalupe down in Mexico. And I had visited there, and we all wore them. I'm a practicing Catholic. Bo was a devout Catholic as well, and so
Hunt got them, got the rosary beads. Hunter Biden, that is, down in Guadalupe, he's passing out rosary beads. Who knew? But the takeaway, friends, is the same. Pro-aborts can be devout Catholics. Devout Catholic presidents of the United States, be whatever they want. Pro-abortion Catholics. It's a contradiction in terms. At least it should have been. Used to be. Not anymore. Catholics can be pro-gay marriage. Heck, Catholics can even conduct gay marriages. And after all of that, the Pope will give you communion. Just ask the Catholic president of the United States.
A Catholic priest did not give you communion. He said it was because of your position on abortion. Were you offended by that?
That's a private matter. I'm not going to talk about that. It's the only time it's ever happened, and we didn't talk about it. He went to the press about it. And it's not a position that I've found anywhere else, including from the Holy Father who gives me communion.
Including from the Holy Father who gives me communion. And see, you know, this is the same Holy Father that's shutting down the traditional Latin masses worldwide. At the traditional Latin masses, you have 100% belief in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. You see what's going on here? There's a war going on against the Eucharist, against the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ in the world today. It's a scandal that is so big it's difficult to absorb. It's difficult to even consider the ramifications. Catholic president of the United States, pro-abortion, pro-gay marriage, pro-New World Order, telling everybody that the Pope gives him communion, it's fine. It's just fine. You see, friends, Cardinal Mueller is right. This is a hostile takeover of the Catholic Church. It doesn't do anybody any good to pretend otherwise. That's what this is. Francis not only stands against us, little traditional Catholics, who cares, being the big bully dictator that he is, but he stands against his own bishops. We had a program down here a month ago with Archbishop Chaput saying anybody that gives the Blessed Sacrament to Joe Biden is contributing to the lie and to the hypocrisy that's going on. But Francis disagrees. Francis disagrees with all of the good bishops, in fact, who feel this way.
I really would prefer not to do this, but I cannot in my conscience allow the situation to continue and cause this scandal.
That was Archbishop Salvatore Cordileone last month explaining why he banned House Speaker Nancy Pelosi from receiving communion in the Archdiocese of San Francisco. This is Pelosi today, before witnesses say she received the Eucharist at the Vatican.
So when we talk about bishops waking up, I mean, obviously, Francis is causing worldwide confusion to such an extent that bishops can no longer ignore it and retain any any credibility as Catholic leaders. That's where we are. And you better believe that this is having a massive influence on voters, not only in the United States, but all over the world. How many were we at? 2 billion Catholics worldwide? You think this doesn't have an influence on elections, on politics worldwide? Countries like Brazil, the majority of them are what? Oh, they're Catholic. And look what happened to their very pro-life President Bolsonaro. He went to Tucker Carlson's show and just defended the unborn in no uncertain terms. He's lost right now. And this is going to spread throughout the rest of South America because Francis and Team Francis and their stupid synod are shutting down anything that matters, any sort of guidance that matters. Watch this next clip, keeping in mind now that Francis just appointed a pro-abortion atheist to the Pontifical Academy for Life in the Vatican. Imagine the message that that sends to what's left of Catholic pro-life in South America.
Moving on, it was a historic day for Argentina. The country made abortion legal. Many are calling it a triumph for women's rights campaigners, which was achieved over the complete objection of the Catholic Church. But as expected, the landmark decision did not settle well with the right-wing president of Brazil. In a tweet, Jair Bolsonaro slammed the decision, saying that the state has now given consent to kill children. He further said that Brazil will never allow abortion on its soil. Abortion is highly controversial in the Latin American continent because of widespread Catholic influence.
So that's the direction this is going, friends. That's why abortion is such a huge issue. That's why the pro-life movement is so important. As Francis seems to be moving away from that, a pro-abort atheist to the Pontifical Academy for Life. Oh, can we say that a few more times? Let that sink in a little bit. A pro-abort atheist. In other words, he's using the most powerful position of moral authority on earth, the chair of St. Peter, not to save lives, the lives of the unborn, not to defend the law of God, but to save the planet. To save the planet. To defend not the Ten Commandments of God, but to defend the sustainable development goals of the United Nations. You see what a scandal this is? You see what an apocalyptic, terrifying scandal this is? It's his job right now to call the world to repent. He's calling on the world to recycle. Not to use plastic straws. Not to use your air conditioner. This is demonic, passive, aggressive poping. Because it's his job to build up the kingdom of Jesus Christ. But instead, what's he doing? He's partnering with the builders of the new world order of Antichrist. And you say, don't resist. You can't resist. You got to be respectful. Really? Really? That's the discussion you want to have right now. While Francis is betraying his office, betraying his flock, like Judas betraying Jesus Christ himself. Friends, this is holy war. Not a political war. We've said this from the beginning with Donald Trump and everything else. It was always about whether a guy like Trump could advance, somehow could advance those who see and recognize this for what it is. A holy war. A spiritual war. Are there any politicians out there that can maybe provide enough cover for us to do that? It was never following them. It was always allowing them to buy the time that was needed to make that point. To wake people up, to turn people back to God. That's all it ever was. And those of you who watch this show carefully, you know that's what it was as far as our show supporting Donald Trump. That's what it was. But it could be somebody else. It could be Ron DeSantis. We're going to wait and find out. Because we have to be crusaders, which literally means bearing the cross of Christ into this sewer, into this swamp. Into this godless milieu. That's our job, to be crusaders, not Republicans. Believe me, I'm not a Republican, but I'm an American and I'm a Catholic, and I'm going to fight like that, Catholic first. And I'm telling you, as you know in your heart of hearts, it's abortion that matters most. Because abortion matters because God is the author of life. That's why abortion matters, because God matters. Defend life and you might get out of here alive, because you might find you're on God's side, and then we really will make America great again. But it's abortion, it's the pro-life fight that's going to make the difference to these demons. That's the only thing they care about, obviously. The most important midterms, we were told, in the history of this nation, every one of them was out there every day telling us it's about abortion, because they're demonic. They're sick in the head. So make sure, friends, that when you find out that abortion matters as much as it does to the demons, make sure that abortion matters that much to us. That's what this is all about. And that's what we're going to spend the next 2 years talking about as we try to fight, claw our way through this war, this fight. For everything that matters to the personalities. It's the war for God. Mr. Trump, Mr. DeSantis, if you really want to make America great again, then stand with the unborn. Stand with God, because that's the only way that we will stand with you.